Hello and welcome to GameSpot After Dark, episode 205. I am your host, Mo Sain, joined as always by Jean-Luc Seipke.
I am very proud to announce right here, exclusively, that I have received a code for 10% off my next Uber Eats order.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Awesome. I'm so happy.
I'll report
too.
Back with my review when the embargo lifts in a few weeks' time.
Excellent. Great. I'm glad to hear it. We're also joined by Lucy James.
I'm also very excited to announce that I have received a code of conduct. I will be following. I really couldn't think of anything. I was like, God, that Uber Eats one was really good. Everyone. I got bangs.
Yep, the big thing. Yeah. It's a big thing. Is that the big thing that you for last week? It looks great, by the way.
Thank you.
I think I've told you multiple times today, but it looks fantastic.
Thank you. Just got a text from Georgia saying that they look great too.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Feeling good.
Is that the big thing that has been happening for you for the last couple of days?
No, I put 50 hours into Baldur's Gate in the last
2 weeks. We'll get there.
I've clearly been busy.
Yeah. The big thing that happened to me was I caught COVID for the fourth time.
Congrats.
Four COVIDs, Tam. That's insane.
I have four COVIDs, okay? I'm collecting them all. Mm-hmm. I've got
every
all the COVIDs.
Strain.
And I tell that not to be a downer, but tell people that because I am no longer COVIDed. Mm-hmm. I have tested negative multiple times. However, I do have a cough still. And it's a cough that will likely... Well, the doctor said it might be forever.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, sweet. Because each time I've had COVID, I've had like my body change in a way that it hasn't recovered from. Like my lung capacity has clearly gone down. I have like permanent fatigue now. I've got a permanent debuff of fatigue where I just,
welcome
since
my
last, since my last one, I've just never felt not tired. And now I have this cough. So he is like, you might just keep that cough too. So I apologize
for a treat for you.
I apologize to everyone listening and watching for any coughs that you might hear.
We just went to get sandwiches for lunch and Tam had a little cough. And I knew it was for the benefit of our friend.
Yeah.
We are slowly but surely trying to befriend the sandwich guy at the local sandwich shop. And we're getting there. Tam had like a full, nice conversation.
I had a good conversation with him about good avocados.
Yeah, you really did. But it was like you started coughing and then you told that story as in just to make him feel at ease.
Yeah.
And I think he respected that. And I think that's why you have the avocado chat.
Yeah, exactly.
He's great.
Oh, good. Okay.
Best sandwiches in town.
So I am basically telling everyone, hey, I'm coughing, but it's because my body is slowly dying, not because I actively have COVID. So I apologize. Please forgive me. You might hear some. It also like it hurts.
Oh,
it hurts so much.
Did you get Paxlovid?
Yeah, I got Paxlovid before, but not anymore. But it means that the coughing results very quickly in a severe headache because of the force put into it. So again, I'm sorry if you hear me coughing. Please don't at me about this.
I sit next to you. I'm going to at you.
Yeah. Stop
it. Keep it down.
Be quiet, please. I'm very excited to go to Gamescom and be potentially get it again, probably.
400,000 gamers. And then we're going to PAX.
Yeah. I need to get Paxlovid at PAX.
Yeah.
But yeah, the big discussion, obviously, this week is going to be more Baldur's Gate. Because you put in 50 hours. I think to a degree, we've all goblin moded it up on this game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at 35, 40. And the amount of progress I've made is shockingly low. Like, I am...
Where are you at now?
Have you been doing multiple characters or just the one?
I am going to every inch of this world.
Okay.
And poking around.
Well, progress. Yeah. You're doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing stuff. The last major beat that I had was the goblin camp. The three...
the hitman
you
level?
You have been examining every...
Very much. Yeah, that's like one of the first major story beats, as far as I can tell.
But there's so much you can do in that one little
camp. I've just been pissing about, like, looking
crazy.
At things. Yeah. And like messing around. And I think
did you save
the
bard guy?
Volo?
Yes. I saved the bard.
Did you guys do the
thing? I did the hag one.
Which one? What's the difference here?
Eyeball stuff.
Georgia did the eyeball thing. No. And so, I watched her capture her character.
Eyeball thing.
Grim.
I didn't do the eyeball thing. So that's the other thing where like I have had to stop myself from reloading things to try again and just see what happens. Because it ends up like being like, oh, I didn't save until half an hour ago, but I can make that up.
Oh,
and I'm
redoing
it.
Yeah, you gotta
quick
save.
Spam that quick save. Yeah. I just find it annoying when I hit load and there's like 100 things there. I'm like, no, I don't like it. Even if I collapse it, I'm like, no, I don't like this. So I have been spending a lot of time just messing around and enjoying the kind of the act of being there. It's like very good escapism right now in a way that I haven't had in a long, maybe since Elden Ring. But yeah, there's a lot to that game.
I'm just glad I'm finally in Act 2.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I sounds like I'm at the start of Act 1.
You are very much.
Yeah, yeah. I spent a lot of time trying to shag the tiefling. What's her name again?
Carla.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
She will literally burn you alive.
That is what happened, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that's actually what happened.
No, no, she doesn't actually do it, but she's like, she was like, you're going to catch on fire. And I was like, I don't care.
There was a point where...
and I went for it. And eventually she was like, at one point she was like, you are singed, get away from me.
I went to a, like a magical, I'm going to keep it very vague. I met this like, robot kind of guy, like an automaton. And you can talk to him for a bit and he can offer you a hug, so I switched to Carla so that she could get a hug.
Oh,
because then she wouldn't burn him alive.
Yeah. I haven't been playing as other characters very much.
I play as Astarion.
I don't play as him. He's
well,
like I said,
his
Stewie Griffin is not the one.
Get fucked.
I saw that yesterday.
You saw that same
and
too.
I was like, I'll never unsee this, but it is correct. He has Stewie Griffin energy.
He has Tim Curry energy, not Stewie Griffin energy. Thank you. He, because his charisma rogue sleight of hand is so good.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I play as him a lot because also I always have to switch to him to lockpick and whatever. So
I just realized I've got a Halo 3 comp.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it's also
got a Fandom
logo on it.
Interesting.
Oh my God,
yeah, I do have those benefits because my character, Patches the Unbreakable, is also a little freak about, you know, being sleight of hand.
Oh, well, he has to be. Yeah.
Because he's Patches. So I've like headcanoned it. So like Dark Souls 3 Patches is actually, if you follow his questline, he's actually a good dude, which is very weird.
Yes.
Like he saves a character.
Yeah.
Well, he's good to Grey Rat. And like by the end of that game, you're like, oh, Patches is actually
alright. He's alright in this one.
That's the version of Patches I have.
Okay.
So
like
so he still
come
loves
forward.
Shoving and kicking people down.
He loves shoving. Mm-hmm. He loves kicking. I've got the ability where I can basically the whole vibe is like I'm here to like swap positions with you and like push you away and steal shit without you knowing. But at the same time, when I'm like in conversations, I'm trying to be nicer to people that I like. But if you're like being shitty, if you're a villain or something like that, I am going to try and push you off the side of a cliff or something like that.
Who's your party?
I have Astarion.
Hell yeah.
I've got Karlak. And who's the other one?
Shadowheart?
No,
who
not Shadowheart.
Who heals you?
I heal myself. I throw potions at each other.
Oh, wow.
What's her name?
You can eat potions. That's good.
What's her name? The orky one.
Lyzelle,
yeah. Lyzelle, firstly.
Furious.
Incredible.
She came on to me in a way that was very alarming.
Oh, Shadowheart's done that for me. I can't do shit without Shadowheart going, hello.
Lyzelle said to me, I'm pretty sure she said, I want to wear you. And I was like,
She was talking a lot about my smell and sweat in a way that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm Astarion and also Karlak main.
Yeah, Karlak.
Oh, no, so Holden.
Karlak is cute because she's like, I like you, do you like me? Oh. And then you go, yes. And then like she's like, cool. And then she turns around and goes, yes.
Have you seen Karlak has a teddy bear?
Oh, no.
At the camp called Clive.
That's amazing.
It's right next to where they're standing.
The funny thing is, like, when I decided to, like, oh, I'm going to try and, like, engage in a romance, everyone in the camp was trying it at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I went by one, and they were like, you want to shag? You want to shag? I was like, no, no. And then all of them were like, you clearly have someone, and they were very mad at me for it. I was like, come on, man.
Well, there's a point where you have a party early in Act 1.
Oh, yeah, after you do the thing. You like free the
druids and stuff. And I had a list. I'd been flirting with everyone, and I was like, this makes me feel like a harlot, because it's basically like spend the night with Astarion, with Haldin, with whoever. And I was like,
I think that you can't be in a relationship with more than one person, but you can shag multiple people. I think that's how it works. Right. So you can have sex with multiple people, but once you're committed, the others will be like, I'm not, ain't no housebreaker, homewrecker. So that's it.
That's interesting.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying that game. The combat is interesting. I have moments where I'm like, this really works. And I have moments where I'm like, I feel like I'm just kind of like falling down the stairs and flailing my arms a bit, which is weird.
Okay.
Like, I'm not by any means great at this game. However, I will say having Shadowheart in the cleric role, like buffing, debuffing, I finally got her fear, and basically that has been such a game changer. Fear, she just like, she screams at them, but it goes in a cone. So it's anyone who's in this little cone, and they all drop their weapons and then run away.
Great.
There's I was gonna say, there's just definitely like certain abilities and classes that feel more like immediately useful.
Oh, grease and fire.
Grease me up, woman.
Grease and fire is wild.
I forget what it's called. There's like this thorn like patch you can send.
So
absolutely kills everyone. It's incredible.
I was at the creche, and there's a point where I accidentally made everyone turn against me, and this captain, like, I just done this big fight, and I think I was part of the bug thing. One of the things they tried to put in Hotfix 4 was like, oh, if you get to this place, you can't save or whatever. I was in that place and I couldn't save.
Ooh.
And I came back, and because I'd aggroed everyone in the crash, I couldn't leave and I couldn't go to the camp, and I was running dangerously low. I respect to be a druid, and a big group of them came running at me, and I put that thing down, and a bunch of them, it's thorns, and you get piercing damage or something.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And every time you walk on it, you get hit. And so basically, I just put it at the end, in the middle of this corridor, and some of them just wouldn't even go on it.
Yeah,
they just stood at the end. And then one person came through. I kept shoving them onto the spikes. So like, I would do my regular things, and I would shove them onto the spikes, chip them down. They went all the way down. The rest of them just stayed at the end. So then I just picked them off, and I was like, it's honest work.
It's yeah, that's our pro move, because George is playing a druid, so he puts that down. I'm a rogue, so I just do that stealth damage. And good lord, you do so much damage as a rogue.
Stealth damage. I finally got a I gave Misty Step to Astarion, and I just get him.
Yeah, I think that also I need to respec a bunch of my characters, because I've been like willy-nilly just grabbing things that look cool, so there's not a lot of synergy between abilities. But yeah, I think I might drop Lysel for Shadowheart and spec her into a cleric, which is what I was thinking of doing yesterday.
I have a headgear, this is Baldur's Gate, by the way, someone in a bow tie is a cool ass, where every time Shadowheart heals someone, it heals her.
Oh, amazing.
So great. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, I think I want to spec. I think I might change what Patches is, because Patches is kind of overlapping with Astarion in a pretty big way. So I think I might change Patches to Patches is up front and hurting people now.
Okay.
Because he does do that. Elden Ring Patches is a menace. He wants to fight. So this is the Patches that has gone from from Dark Souls 3. So he's kind of got a heart to Elden Ring, where he wants to fight and is up for engaging in one-on-one, and is now in the world of Baldur's Gate. So that's exciting for me. And my buddy Patches.
I've just got Jeff.
You do need Jeff,
a smoking hot elf.
So are you playing primarily on PC still, right?
I'm only playing on PC,
Did you try
it's only on PC.
Yes, as in like Steam Deck and
ROG. Oh, I haven't.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I actually only set up my ROG yesterday.
Yeah. I'd be interested.
I was downloading stuff.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what you think of it, because I think I've probably played as much time on that as I have on...
What's the battery life like?
It's okay. I haven't played sessions beyond 2 hours on that thing anyway.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
But it feels like pre-bed if I want to do a couple things.
Yeah.
Like I can sit down and like play. And it's not heavy, so it doesn't drain you to hold it. But also, like, sometimes I'll just plug it in. And because when it has power, it's like, I think the hardware is more powerful.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll frequently do. But I am excited at the prospect of traveling for a little while and having Baldur's Gate 3 in my bag.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Although I have hit up my doctor to get the good drugs.
Good push.
So help me. It's the dollar store. How good could it be to knock me out for the flight?
Yeah. What's your experience been like? You're playing in co-op as well,
right? Yeah, we're playing co-op. So co-op's kind of weird. I feel like it's a lot of fun, but it is like kind of janky and broken in some weird ways. Like you have to kind of get into this rhythm where it's like, oh, okay, I started a conversation. It seems important. You should listen in, kind of thing. Or like, it can be a little annoying when just like who happens to be the person who walks forward. They're the one that triggers the conversation versus like the other one. So it felt like, oh, we didn't get a chance to like properly like figure out who should be the one to actually engage in it based on things like charisma checks and stuff like that. But it's fun though. It is kind of cool to be like, oh, I guess I'll take this conversation and then you can take the next one or something like that. It's also really weird because because we only have two party members each, we'll like split it between us so we each can control two characters in combat. But then when you're talking, it only ever accounts for the one character you have, not like the other two, which is weird. And then like you can't talk to and like have conversations with the other person that they're. So like, for example, if I have like Will in my party, like I'm controlling him. And then George is controlling Karlak. If I go to camp and try and talk to Karlak, she says, not right now. I don't want to talk to you. Huh. She like will not let you. So when we go back to camp, we have to do this thing where we have to like go to both of our party members, say, hey, I need you to leave my party for now. So no one's in our party. And then we can go and talk to everyone. And then we put them back in our party. So like weird stuff like that. That's just like a little annoying.
Even in single player, there's parts where like the multi character thing can break. I accidentally changed characters in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, sure.
And it broke the game. I could not access that character again, and I could not progress the story forward. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh.
And like I had to like reload a checkpoint, and the first time I reloaded it, it was still locked in that phase. And I was like, oh god. So I had to go back to an earlier one, and like luckily it was like, oh, I did it just after the battle as opposed to further in. So
totally.
Just run in.
I do think the benefits of co-op outweigh the small negatives. Like,
I haven't tried in co-op yet.
So much fun to just like have another person there because you can kind of like chat about like, hey, what should we do? Or, you know, like figuring out combat strategies.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get like that fun kind of like D&D back and forth where, I mean, in our case, me and Georgia, like we do properly communicate with each other. But like I've played like when I played Divinity co-op, I'd play with some people who were just like YOLOing it and that can be kind of fun. Like that's part of the D&D experience. You're like, I'm gonna do this and hopefully they'll do something, and they're like, I'm gonna rip my clothes off and run at them bare naked, and you're like, okay, sure, we're gonna go with that now, great.
I don't want to play Baldur's Gate in co-op because I think people would get annoyed at me because I play RPGs in such a very specific way.
Sure.
Where I look at everything and I pick up everything and I read everything and I just go, this is the chair. Squeakiest chair in the world. But I feel like it would just be so annoying to play with. And if people were trying to rush me, I'd be like, nope, leave me alone.
Imagine playing with me at my pace that I'm currently going at, where I'm just like looking at, going to see what's going on in this corner where there's just a bush. And you're like, look, Apple.
Being able to change into a cat and fit into the small spaces
is
such a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is your main character a druid?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Jeff is a druid.
Jeff the druid?
Jeff is a druid.
Jeff the druid.
Jeff, Astarion, Karlak. Although I swapped Karlak out for Lazelle during all of the Githyanki stuff because I just thought it would be nice for her to be there.
Yeah, I try and do that when I can. Like, oh, this story seems to
the problem
fit
is
with
when,
you.
When there's that story happening and you also have battles and you're like,
my party comp is shit now.
That's the thing. At least some of them, like, can, those two especially, can interchange with each other.
Pretty easily.
Yes. I never use Will or Gale.
Yeah, I've not talked to them in ages.
That's who because I don't use Astarion at all because I'm a rogue. So yeah, Astarion, like, has no purpose in our party comp.
Funny. Did you see that tweet today about I think the tweet was just like, what an insane line
delivery. Yeah, where he's like very incredulous about it.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Mm. I love that when you swap to him, he goes, don't touch me. Yeah. Which is my favorite.
Oh. And the other thing that I really love is like Karlach will, if you just idle, everyone's standing still, Karlach immediately just starts dancing. Like, and you're like, oh, wow. Okay.
Right. Karlach's got
very into it.
Undiagnosed ADHD.
Yeah. 100%. 1,000,000%.
Decide my fate forevermore. Yes, it's been on my mind.
Why?
Listen, wait, play it again, but imagine Stewie Griffin.
Oh no!
My fate forevermore. Yes.
Oh no. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, there he is.
There it is.
Yes, Lois.
Hey you. I hate you.
There it is. There it is.
Sweet boy.
Ruined. I'm excited to sit down and do some like recomping of my party.
Have you now got that, Withers?
Oh yeah, Withers is my boy.
Withers is
wicked. Withers? It's like Smithers. I remember the first time I went into that crypt, I blew the shit out of everyone. Just everything just exploded. I was like, oh my god, I did not. Sometimes playing on the Steam Deck, you can't see things like switches. And unless you like really get in there, because if you're like too far out, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea that there was traps and stuff there. So everything just exploded. And I was like, "What in the world was that?"
Yeah, help me.
So Patch is getting a taste of his own medicine for once.
This is one of my favorite moments in the game, is where you just start walking in like an area, and all of a sudden the corner just goes, "Perception check failed." Yeah. Perception check failed. Perception check failed. Then you're just like, "Oh no,
I'm in danger." Yeah. I did. There's a point where. There was like a series of traps and I couldn't be bothered to disarm them all.
Just run for it.
No. So I'd line everyone up. I'd individually make everyone jump over.
Oh yeah.
And I'd swap between everyone, make them individually jump over again and again. I did this the whole way.
Yeah. I did that
in Grimforge, and I was like, oh, I feel like such an idiot.
I think I did that in one area where it was like everyone's jumping from point to point, mm-hmm. and like we're platforming around a cave, and it was weirdly fun.
Or like the little vents, you like spend like 5 minutes just like placing a vase over each individual vent that the gas doesn't come out.
There's a puzzle that I was doing to get a really good mace. It's a really good mace anyway, and the chair
it sounded different this time. I don't know,
it sounded like a fart.
Oh, killed
it. Wow.
Oh my god. Anyway, it's the chair. Anyway, so I was doing this puzzle and it requires you to place things on certain things. So I was very delicate, like putting things on the ground using move, and then it just wasn't working. And I was like, what if I just throw it? So I was just yeeting things and it would land perfectly. I was like, oh, god damn it. All right, fine. Mm. What a game. That mace, though.
What does it do? And who's using it?
I gave it to Shadowheart. It basically means that if you die, you get resurrected with either 2 to 9 health. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I have.
Is it like a one-time use thing or? Because
I think it's a long rest.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Damn, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I mean, I had to do some shit to get that mace.
Where is it?
The monastery.
Oh okay, cool. Might have to head over there.
I will fill you in.
Yeah. All right, Craig David, calm down. Yeah. Have you guys been playing anything else other than Baldur's Gate?
Yeah, I've been playing a few things. I finished Final Fantasy 16, finally. Yeah.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Have you guys finished that?
No. I'm like, I played it over the weekend. I'm like playing chunks of it and getting towards the end, but I've not finished it yet.
Yeah. My pro tip is just stop doing the side stuff. It destroys the pacing of that game considerably. Yeah,
except for what I'm currently doing.
Very, very ending. They do like a couple of really good side quests that are like, here's like your last moment with these characters before the big battle type thing. And like, they're very good.
To get those, do you need to do the other stuff?
You do have to do like, for example, I wanted to do like a thing with like Jill and it was like, well, first you have to go do like this other characters and that required you doing this. It's just like a book guide.
Okay.
Basically. But it was usually like, you just have to do one quest and that quest will then open up this person's quest. Right. It's not too bad. But yeah, I finally finished that. Pretty mixed overall feelings on that game. Yeah. I do think I really liked a lot about it. Clive is best boy.
Yeah,
Clive's great. I think he's easily my favorite protagonist in all of Final Fantasy. But I also think like everyone else is kind of mid to
Sid.
Well, it's Sid's good, but it's not.
What about mid? What do you think about mid?
Pretty mid.
Yeah, mid is mid.
Mid's kind of mid. And it's not actually the fault of those characters. It's more that I just don't think the game gives them
much to work
the time, because it devotes so much to Clive. I really wanted to like Jill, and I do like Jill, but I'm just like, man, I feel like the game didn't
give her much
to do. She kind of has she kind of peaks a little early in terms of the story. That game also has a lot of themes and then completely abandons those themes in a way that's like kind of bizarre and weird. I'm trying to still be vague for people who haven't played it, obviously, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's like for everything I did like about the game, there were like two things I didn't like about it. And so it's not like, I don't know. I think it's a really messy game, but it's a game that was trying something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of respect for that. Like I don't think it is a dull game. It's like it's not a mid game, because a mid game to me would be like nothing of value, like not interesting. Like this, I think this is a fascinating, interesting kind of a mess of a game. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of things they did that I'm like, ooh, you should keep doing that in another Final Fantasy. And there's other things that I'm like, maybe don't do that, or try something different, or get like change your writing team a little bit.
Yeah, that's been one of my kind of major, like, there's some good writing in that game, I think.
There is. There is
focused on Clive, which arguably is where you want to get it right to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of it in there that I'm like, you're not putting your best foot forward here.
Yes.
Which is disappointing given the pedigree of the team. And maybe it's unfair for me to expect, you know, MMO kind of experience from writing experience from Final Fantasy that in this kind of like console game or like this contained game. But there are like the side characters are my main issue. Like everyone's just like generic NPC.
Yeah.
I feel like Clive's great. I think Sid was amazing.
It's amazing. And Gav's pretty good.
Yeah, Gav's fun.
I like Gav.
I like Gav. And then the others are kind of like okay-ish.
Yeah.
But there's no like other characters beyond the core group that are like remotely interesting. Even like the dominant, some of them, I'm like, all right. Like Hugo Kupka is like the most generic big strong
man.
He looks like the Chad.
Yeah.
Yes. Chad. I do like Dion quite a bit.
Dion's fun,
but again, I also do wish he had more, bit more. I'm just like,
I thought
really
Benedicta
good.
Wanted more.
Yeah, oh, I thought she was done dirty. Yeah, like she left that story way too soon, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, she got turned into a weird, like when they, the thing that happens later on where you're like, oh, Benedicta, and you're like, oh, that's what you're here for.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, moment was weird. Yeah, I was like, what? Oh, this is interesting. Yeah. Oh, never mind. This is really weird now. Very weird.
But I also like the combat. Like I like the gameplay.
The combat is incredible. Yeah. The combat's genuinely good. All the different kits with the icons are so much fun.
So much fun. And I love that they finally made the icons or the Guardian Forces summons the core of the experience.
Yeah.
Like it baffled me why they weren't more important. They were a little bit important. I love the Final Fantasy stories that are centered around those creatures. Like 10 is like amazing because you have this whole ritual around getting one, like the kind of cloister of trials stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like in 8, it's really weird because they establish early on, like you go to this school and part of the school is you get these like summon these god creatures Pokemon. And you're like, that seems crazy. And then it has like nothing to do with the plot at all. And you're like, oh, okay. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. I also love that Ifrit is like the main, main lad, because I think they mention it in our audio logs, which is out now. You can watch on youtube.com/GameSpot, which focuses on the way they made Ifrit. Mm. But Yoshi P points out, like, Ifrit is the one that always gets, you get first, and immediately you forget about him. Because
like
an hour later, you get a more powerful one, and then no one uses Ifrit.
Mm-hmm.
And Ifrit is, like, so cool in this game.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And the spectacle of those fights is, like, seriously wild. Impressive stuff.
Yeah, I'm always excited when like a big thing is happening and Ifrit is involved.
Like that game is absolutely a spiritual successor to Asura's Wrath, in the best way possible. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, there's good stuff in that game. Just I don't know, left me very mixed. About it, but.
What else have you been playing?
Actually, we've been playing that Quake 2 remaster.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. I've never played the original Quake 2. I've played some of Quake 1.
Hmm.
And I played Quake 3. And I'm the one person on the planet who's played Quake Champions.
I played it for a bit as well. Yeah.
I have over 100 hours in that game. I know.
That is wrong.
I was like wrong. Really into it for some reason. Not for some reason. I like that game. Hmm. But anyway, said, I'm going to check out Quake 2 because they put out this remaster. First off, gold standard for how to do a remaster, in my opinion. So completely free if you already own the original version.
Nice.
If you don't own it, it's $10.
Nice.
When you get it on Steam, you can still click on the original version as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
Didn't override it. They didn't do that like shitty thing where it's like, we got rid of the old one and took it off the storefront. Like, no, still there. It includes all the expansion packs, including Quake 2 64. They just put that version in the game, which is great. They also added a brand new expansion as well, which I haven't gotten to yet because I've just been playing the base one.
Who made it?
It's Night Dive Studios.
Yeah, it's
people that did the System Shock remake this year. They also did the Rise of Triads remaster. Yeah. They've done
a bunch of stuff. They were on Twitter asking Tim Sweeney to let them do Unreal Tournament. They were like,
they 100% should do
it. They were like, we look at what we've done with Quake and System Shock. Please let us do Unreal. And Tim should probably pay attention to
that. I think so. I mean, yeah, like they do incredible stuff. And so on top of that, it's like then the actual base game itself, it is obviously improved visually, but they really retain the identity of how that original game looked. Like at first I was like, oh, this just looks like how Quake 2 did. And when you actually compare them, you realize like, oh no, like they have done a lot with like lighting and models, but it's not like the Halo 1 anniversary where it's like so jarring and it loses like that visual identity and it looks off. Like it feels like a game of that era. And then obviously, you know, like it runs well. You can do, you know, ultra wide and all this stuff without like needing to do weirdness to get it running, because they just make it work on modern systems. But then they added a couple of really cool things. So one is they have a radial menu now.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice, because you can play it on console as well.
Yeah.
But as a part of the radial menu, they added a compass that will then put an in-game like little green arrows that tells you where to go if you're lost, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Because that game is not as obtuse as like say Doom 1, because it is like a little bit more advanced in terms of how it looks, but the game asks you to go back and forth, and if you're not paying attention, you can be like, where was that again? And then you can just kind of easily get lost. So it's a really nice thing. You can just click it and it just goes boop, 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 boop. And it actually, they like designed it to fit cohesively within the game design. So it doesn't feel like this like weird thing that's pasted on top of it and looks kind of off. Like it's really, really well done. I'm like, wow, that is every game of this era should like have something like that when they ported it. And then, hey, guess what? Quake 2 is still a banger of a shooter.
Yeah, it's fun.
It feels so good.
I saw people playing it competitively again.
Yeah, they also have online with dedicated servers.
Yeah, there was. I watched like an actual like shoutcasted match, and I forget what it's like to watch people play games like Quake and Unreal and those games at a high level. It's absurd. Like,
It is wild. Yeah, there was a clip going around of Quake Champions specifically. There's like a 1v1, and I kind of watched Quake Champions 1v1 like several years ago when I went to QuakeCon, and genuinely that is maybe one of the only FPS games that I think is actually fun to watch competitively.
Yeah.
Because it's just two people, so it's like you're not you don't get confused about like the layout and what's happening, and it's just like the moment to moment, like, oh, like look at him like getting up behind him and like juking him and just pulling off this like insane shot from a distance.
Yeah.
And it feels like it has that impact that you want in a competitive game.
Yeah, I enjoyed a decent amount of it. I do want to play that. I think I want to add it to my list to check out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. The shotgun feels, oh man, the shotgun feels good. It's like you play that and you're like, oh yeah, man, it had that secret sauce, man. It, like they were bangers.
I mean, they still do. Like
they do
those
for sure. It's also really funny, like just seeing how games evolve, because it also has that like certain juvenileness where like just like you shoot, you know, the enemies and like their heads just go flying off and explode. It's very like corny and cheesy now, but it like you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, this was like the primo example of like if you were to put like a violent video game like on the news or like in a movie or something, it would have looked exactly like this.
Jack Thompson hates it.
Yes.
Wherever he is, he's upset.
He's furious. He's still that like, night dive.
Ah, they keep brought this back. I thought I was done. But yeah. Anything else?
No, I think that's it between that. There's so many games coming out. I'm like it overwhelmed.
Is a wild amount. I mean, like when the Alan Wake delay of 10 days was announced, I was like, that sucks, but also I'm very appreciative.
But I think it's like
it.
A few days now before something else that I was like, oh, are you good?
Excuse me, I'm dying here.
Excuse me.
I know, innit?
I'm trying to do a podcast.
Yeah, innit? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying, I think it comes out like now a few days before something else really big. Oh,
I was like, Spider-Man's before
I think it's Spider-Man. I think it's coming out really close to Spider-Man
now. Yeah, it's close to Spider-Man, and I think it's between Spider-Man and Assassins.
No,
Assassin's Creed got moved.
Assassin's
got moved, yeah.
Which is nice. I'm actually excited for an Assassin's Creed game for the first time forever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to potentially be able to finish an Assassin's Creed
exactly,
game.
Yes.
Yeah, October 5th to Mirage, and then Lords of the Fallen. Alan got pushed 10 days to the 20th.
Don't say Alan got pushed.
Alan got pushed. Oh, yeah. So Spider-Man is the 20th, and now Alan Wake is the 27th. And City Skylines is the 24th.
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid Master Collection is the 24th. There's the big one. Alone in the Dark is the 25th.
Well.
And then Modern Warfare 3, November 10th. That's too many games.
It's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. And I mean, we also, we have Starfield in a few weeks. Yeah.
Delighted to announce, I'm still playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Armored Core, which I feel like will be the one that ends up getting put on the back burner for me. But I do really, really want to play it. I've never played an Armored Core, but I am excited to try an Armored Core. Because I like mech.
You like mech games. Yeah. So, I mean, like, those are good ones, and they're FromSoft as well.
Totally, So it's like, I want to play it. I just, like, I can feel in my heart that, like, of all the games, right? Because I'm like, I got to keep playing Baldur's Gate before I fall off that, you know, and
The fact that, like, I'm falling off, like you said, of so many games. Like, maybe it's fine now because of the state of the game, but, like, I fell off Diablo so quickly.
Yeah, I did not finish Diablo, and I had a good time with it. Yeah, totally,
I had a good time for the pre-release period, and then the replaying of the pre-release period.
Well, because they wiped it, so I was that was a big downer. Act 1 for the third time. I played it in an alpha or something.
Yeah,
and then it was in the pre-release period, and then it was like, oh, I'm not doing that.
I genuinely don't know if I would have finished Final Fantasy if I hadn't been playing it with my brother specifically.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you've been doing that for like all of them, right? Or at least a lot.
Yes, we've been playing through all the Final Fantasies. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a fun little thing to do. Yeah.
Wonderful. Lucy, anything else you want to bring up?
I watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Hey!
And I had a lovely time with it. It was my first ever piece of Turtles related media that I've ever consumed.
Ooh.
Never read
Ninja Turtles, not the Turtles as a whole.
I've seen Turtles in real life. Yeah. Turtle Bay. Is it Lara Bay in Cyprus? Anyway. Yeah. Never watched anything, never watched cartoons or movies, never read the comic.
Okay, well, a very, very important question. What turtle are you?
The one wearing the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay, was Donnie? That was Donatello?
Yeah,
Donatello. Yes.
He's cute. He had a little JoJo and he likes
He had a JoJo hoodie. I cannot believe they put how a they get JoJo
it?
Hoodie.
I mean, they licensed it or like made a deal.
They licensed a lot of stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
Like the soundtrack. First of all, I didn't realize it was Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor, and I feel like I absolutely...
Trent Reznor doing work with movie soundtracks lately.
My man
two
is...
Two of them. What are they... Yeah.
Going at it.
I mean, the thing with Trent and Atticus right now, Trent Reznor is a Tony away from having an EGOT. So he's got Emmy. He's got an Emmy for, I think, Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Grammys, obviously. Oscar for Soul and for The Social Network.
Trent Reznor.
Yeah, he just needs a Tony. So basically, I'm waiting for the inevitable Nine Inch Nails musical. Or one of these movies that he's done to be turned into a musical, then he'll get his Tony and I'll die happy. I don't know. Anyway, soundtrack's really good. There is an unhinged use of ODB.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's appropriate given ODB's general vibe.
Like, yeah, it works really, really well. It's like shimmy shimmy y'all is really
good. Yeah, all of the choices. It they did the thing where, because at like first glance, you're like, okay, like licensed soundtrack, celebrity voice actors.
Yeah.
It's like the standard fare for like animated kids movies.
Half of those actors exactly. Until the thing came up at the end. I was like, oh. Yeah.
Genuinely like put their all into it. Like it didn't feel like, oh, we're just getting the big names to get the big names. Like they actually put in very good performances. Like it was like Ice Cube was the Superfly. Like I was like, oh, wow. Jackie Chan.
No, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very cute. I love the animation style. I love that they made all the humans look like absolute freaks.
Everyone looks so
the woman
freaky in that. With, like, I love
the
it.
Really long neck, and then like the jaw off to the side. It's they made all the humans.
Like, there's something so funny about how that whole movie's about like we're mutants. The humans won't accept us. And I'm like, everyone in this movie looks like a freaking monster.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. Horrible.
It's so good.
But no, I thought it was super cute. I really enjoyed it. Nice little 90 minutes on a Sunday.
Easy
afternoon.
Breezy.
Yeah.
Easy
breezy. Only $8 as well to go and see it.
Which is only $8?
Wow. Yeah. Some reason went to like a 2 p.m. screening at the Metreon.
Oh, okay.
On a Sunday.
I mean, that's probably like the dregs hour where they're like,
yeah.
Just anyone. We'll take it. If you have any money, we'll take it.
There were a bunch of kids in there. Oh, here we go. Here we go. So, right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the cinema. That was the chair. Cinema. has allocated seating. Mm-hmm. The two seats next to me were empty. And then this woman who was sat in the front row with her kid brought her kid up and just sat next to me. I was like, oh, okay, maybe that was their seat. She left her husband in the front row by herself. Then the lights go down and these people come in and they're clearly their seats their next seats. To me. And the woman just doesn't even look up. To say, I'm so sorry I took your seat.
No.
She just carries on saying that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And just like her and her kid are just like looking at the screen. And like, you know, Nicole Kidman comes on.
Right.
Everyone's in reverence. And then, so these people just, they don't make a big deal of it. They just go, oh, okay, it's fine. We'll sit in front. Yeah. And then the woman and the kid is not. It was very, they were very well behaved. Like they were just sat. You could tell they were getting bored. So
sure.
She leaves like halfway through. I was like, damn. Why would you leave? You're going to
He stole a
did
seat
the,
and
did
left.
The husband stay in the front?
No, the husband left too.
Oh, okay. Imagine he just never he's still there
he's
in
like,
that theater.
They actually ran away from the husband. Like yeah. he's
that was
know.
The whole plan.
Yeah, that was the plan. Yeah. We'll distract him with Ninja Turtles.
There's allocated
seating
for a reason.
Yes. Wow. Cinema seating and like mix-up stresses me out much. Too. Especially because it's like, go to your seat. This is your seat. And it's pitch black in there. Like the cinemas that have the little light that show you what row it is,
yeah,
and they're clearly like visible what seat number it is.
Oh,
bless you, but
people,
most of them don't.
People who come in and turn the phone torches on, and they're like, "Hi, everyone, I'm trying to see." Someone did that in like Oppenheimer, and I was like, "How Christopher Nolan deserves better than this. What are you doing?" But also, I was 15 minutes late for Oppenheimer because I didn't realize there weren't any previews.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You thought you were going to...
I was stood downstairs in the line for Starbucks. And so it was me, Tam, and our friend Claire. And Claire had already gone up. Tam texted me. He was like, the movie started. And I was like, oh, no.
I was in there and I was like, oh, there's no previews. Damn.
Yeah.
The idea of missing the start of a movie, that stresses me out so much.
I mean, luckily with Oppenheimer, it was fine.
Yeah. I mean,
I knew how it ended.
It was sold out. Yeah. I also had that moment where someone came and was like, you're in my seat.
He
was like, that's mine and my son's seat. And the thing about it is, I was, when I stood up and gave him the seat, and then afterwards I thought, checked that was my seat.
Yeah.
Or did I make a mistake? Or did someone just say, that's my seat? And I was like, all right, I guess I'll move on. I found like another seat, but I was like, I think that was my seat. And I just like, finessed
that
me.
That was my seat.
I got finessed by a random man and his child.
Damn,
and
like, scammed you.
Like, standing the whole time.
Yeah. So,
Father, I want that seat. Kick that man out of there.
So that guy, he was standing because he also had to get up out of his seat.
Yeah.
Because the guy said it was mine and my son's seat. So like the son took his seat.
And then this man stood for a three-hour-long movie.
He stood the entire time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. He was standing.
At one point, like, the staff knew he was standing because one of them was like, come over here. And like, he started walking and then the seat went. And he was like, all right, I'm just going to stand here. And he stood there watching Oppenheimer for 3 hours. I was like, my man.
To be fair.
Just sit on the floor.
Oh my God.
I would just sit on the step. Like, you know.
I would be sitting on the floor. Honestly, yeah, I'd be like chilling on the floor.
I'd be sitting in the front row, Cillian Murphy looking like potion seller.
Yeah, up there, trapezium head.
In it. That's all I've done. I also rewatched Inception because I've been rewatching.
Sure.
I rewatched Interstellar. Mm. It's not a good movie.
I've not seen it. I'm fine.
Oh, mate. Don't.
I was going to watch it, and then instead I decided to rewatch The Prestige, which was the right move. Wow.
I mean, I'm going to do that tonight. It's definitely the right move.
Prestige, I watched it with someone who had never seen it, and getting to see the reveal happen to another person is like one of the special.
I had the same experience with Georgia, but not only that, she had no idea what the movie was about.
Oh, yeah.
So she was like, The Prestige, wow, what could this possibly be about? Because we just watched Memento. And then it's like, magicians! And she was like, what the fuck? about magicians?
Why is he so fixated on a knot?
It came out at the same time as The Illusionist.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you call him? Fight Club Man.
I saw The Illusionist in theaters over The Prestige.
I picked Prestige.
I picked The Illusionist.
Yeah, I went Prestige all the way. I mean, like, I watched Prestige much after, but like, I didn't even pay attention to Machinist. I knew what Prestige was. I didn't know what Machinist was. I was like, oh, whatever. And then we watched it at cinema, held by our friends at RKG and IGN.
Oh, yeah.
Who, like, put on, they're obsessed with
The Prestige
to the point where they hired a cinema to do a private screening of The Prestige.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. What a film. You should watch it again.
So I'm going to watch that tonight because I watched Interstellar. Interstellar, I think, has a really good premise, but it's also Christopher Nolan and Jonathan Nolan being too clever for their own goods. I think genuinely the whole humanity's last chance is to send people to try and find golden worlds, and they might not come back.
It's the story of the Saiyans.
It's the story of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Their names were Nappa and Vegeta. Yeah.
Anyway, and then it gets messy because they talk about like black holes and time travel, and you're like, lads, no, come on. Anyway, the stuff with Matt Damon's character, genuinely really good, really interesting.
See, that's the thing. I did enjoy that movie. I haven't seen it forever and only once, so I kind of would like to rewatch it, but I could not tell you like a single like science-y thing that happened. But I remember
Doctor
just like
Man?
That's his name, Dr. Man.
The core emotional like beats of the characters and the relationships working for me. So I think that
is that the one with his daughter?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
I've seen that moment.
I did not like Anne Hathaway in that movie.
I've seen that moment turn into TikToks and memes. So
yeah. I mean, Matthew McConaughey is great in that movie.
True.
So is Jonathan Lithgow and what's her name? The main person who plays older Murphy, Jessica Chastain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, she's good.
They're all great in it, but I just think it's Chris Nolan being too clever for his own good. I watched Inception again for the first time in years. Still exceptional. Still. Just the bit where he's like, oh, I bought the airline. It seemed neat. I'm like, yes! Saito, yeah! Music is still incredible in that film, too.
Yeah. It's also like the pace of that movie is like really good. It's like breaking almost.
Oh, yeah.
But the prestige is like flawless, I think. Like it's incredible.
Except for the accents.
I don't mind the accents these days. Like I listened to it and I was like, it's fine. It's possible. It'll be all right.
The thing is as well is that in my head for some reason, I mean, it's Hugh Jackman. I have it linked with Les Mis.
Yeah.
So it's like, which knot did you tie?
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Les Mis.
The Langford double. I started watching a series called The Night Agent on Netflix, which is like one of these I want to be like 24 shows, expecting, you know, I was like, oh, I want to check out, maybe it'll be like 24.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking not like 24, first of all.
Oh.
Secondly, Night Agent. Everyone in that show does not speak like a human. It is baffling to watch. It is kind of interesting. It's like about this guy who like was on a train, and while he was on a train, he's a cop, he notices someone's behaving suspiciously and get off the train and leave a bag behind. And he's like, goes to investigate, and there's a bomb. And he quickly tries to evacuate people, and it goes off.
Okay, well, first of all, you buried the lead.
What?
Robert Patrick is in
it. Yeah, Robert Patrick is in it.
Oh, okay.
And then, so he ends up being suspected for the actual bombing. Mm. And it's because his dad was also an agent and was believed to be a traitor, even though it was proven he wasn't. He's tarnished. So he gets hired for this job called the night agent, where you just sit in a room in front of a phone that has no dial, no nothing. People can ring into it and that's it.
Okay.
And then you just have to basically listen to it, and people say things in coded words. You go through a book and then you respond in the right way, and then you're done. So you've got like plausible deniability. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then it suddenly starts to transpire that this dude gets involved in a conspiracy where like people in the White House are also like corrupt, and there's something more to that bombing, and et cetera, et cetera. It is like, it's good. It's like schlocky spy stuff. Mm-hmm. But every time someone speaks, I'm like, no one, clearly people wrote these lines, well, and then no one went.
One of the main writers is one of the guys behind The Shield.
I mean, The Shield
unit
is good.
Lie to me, timeless.
The spot. Unit, The Unit is probably where they start. I started watching The Unit because that was Dennis Haysbert, who was President Palmer in 24. So I was like, I'll follow the lead. Mm. And it was not good. The Shield is exceptional. The Shield is everything Breaking Bad was before Breaking Bad, like years before it. And yeah, it was fantastic. Another thing is, like, weirdly, in The Night Agent, President Palmer's brother is in this show. So it's like they've just brought in a bunch of 24 people. I wouldn't recommend it if you're like looking for like super engaging, like I want to listen to the people speak and that kind of stuff. If you just want to like vaguely pay attention to people looking a bit stressed out and shocked and running between things and occasionally shooting guns, it's pretty fun.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I was like watching it while playing the Switch or something like that, or Baldur's Gate 3 on the ROG Ally, and it was fine. Yeah, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, that brings another episode of GameSpot After Dark to a close. Jean-Luc, where you at? What can people find you doing?
Don't bother finding me on social media.
It's Jover.
I meant to mention this at the beginning of the episode, but you've probably already heard them. We do have ads now.
Yeah.
Again, back for the audio listeners. We used to have ads, and then when we moved over to Fandom, we stopped having ads because I had no idea where that money was going, and Fandom was like, it's not going to us. And I was like, well, I should probably turn those off. And the time has come. It has finally been figured out. We can have ads again. So
supports us and the podcast, exactly. So please do not be alarmed by it.
Don't be alarmed by it. We hope it's not too much of an inconvenience. I mean, I guess because
let us know if there's a weird one.
That's the one thing.
Tell us if you find weird ads, because we had a few of those back in the day. We were like, what is this ad?
I didn't realize it.
Because they're all auto. We don't control what the ads are. It just some people feeds them.
Some companies deliberately mislabel themselves.
Huh, yeah. Interesting. I think the main issue we had was the ads were fine, except they came in at 500% volume.
Yes.
So if people were like, I'm deaf now because of this.
Yeah, so if you're having a volume issue, or if you're like, hey, that ad was super weird and not cool, like, please let us know about that for sure. We can definitely get that sorted. But yeah, otherwise, we have ads now, which means we actually have a good excuse to do this podcast still, which is great. So
wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Also in the chat, Luke Pastille is there and says Night Agent is better than expected, but I watched it when I was sick. Firstly, thank you for that. I'll stick with it. Secondly, Luke, I haven't spoken to in many years. I used to work with Luke at CVG, and I think he's currently still at Frontier. Shout out to
Frontier.
Luke. Is it
Future?
No. He's at Frontier. He left to go to Future.
I was like, you worked at Future Publishing, my
man.
Yeah,
I know. No, he's at Frontier now. I think he's still at Frontier. He's like one of the most talented like graphic designers, and like he was responsible for our like website, and a lot of the cool stuff that the Future stuff looked like was him. But yeah, he said, I am still there. Incredible dude. Good to see you, man. Miss you very much. Thank you for listening to another episode of GameSpot After Dark. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Well, you and I are going to be at Gamescom.
I'm going to be at Gamescom, so I will not be back.
We won't be here next
I'll be here.
John, it could be.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.